Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. What fake news story do you have this week?
Setup? Okay, to be fair, it's never fake news. It's
what irrelevant news.
Yeah, news that we'll try to play up for comedic effect.
Yes.
But really, they mean jack poop.
I don't have one this week.
Paige is apparently looking to get into MMA after her wrestling career, which might be ending any day now. She's got to stay with WWE long enough for the movie to come out. Her family to come out.
Yeah.
WWE Studios and I'm guessing Rock's production company are teaming up.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't think Rock is in it, but he's connected to it. And then they just got what's her name from Game of Thrones?
I don't know.
For
the Paige movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
Cersei.
Know. Oh, really?
Yeah, they just signed her on.
Okay.
I'm guessing to play her mom.
I would assume so.
Yeah. So,
anything strike you on any of the shows this week?
The Elimination Fatal 5-Way at 205 Live
mm-hmm.
was really good.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. Probably my match of the week.
If we had a match of the week category, I think that would pretty easily take it.
It was just good to be in Seattle, to be honest, because they react to 205 Live like they should.
Like you should.
If the other places that they've been were knowledgeable of the product,
right?
You know? They don't even have to be knowledgeable. They just have to have a pulse and react to what they're watching.
Yeah.
Which it seems like none of the other crowds do, and that again, they might suffer from. Coming at
well,
in at the end of a two-hour
it's
show.
It's because you're putting your dark match, you're putting your pre-show matches after the whole show.
Right.
Like, say what you the guys are great.
Sure.
They're putting
absolutely.
All out there. But they are they're on the show that is there to hype up the crowd for the real show.
Right.
And I get the live appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a big, big proponent in the past of this. All this stuff needs to be live.
Right.
Not being live killed SmackDown.
Right.
Especially when Raw was live every week.
Mm-hmm.
And we can cite numerous examples of issues with stuff not being live.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much of an impact would it have if 205 Live was before SmackDown instead of after SmackDown.
Well, yeah, I mean...
And either air it at... Set would it be 7 o'clock?
Yeah.
Either aired at 7 o'clock on the network,
mm-hmm.
or just put it at 10 because, and I know that's not live anymore.
Yeah.
So I hesitate to recommend that,
mm-hmm.
but like a 2-hour delay is very different than a 4-day delay.
Sure. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Today was our biggest indicator that Talking Smack is. No longer live. They tape it while 205 Live is going on.
Right.
Because the dark match after 205 Live was Dean versus Miz with Dan O'Brien being the special guest referee, mm-hmm. you know, when he was also on Talking Smack, presumably at that same time.
Coincidence?
Coincidence. And, you know, they're also in Seattle, so I understand why that's happening.
They got to have them.
So,
I get that.
So, I mean, clearly they could have, you know, they could tape it. And it would probably just be fine. The only issue is if you have them do their matches before SmackDown, you get even more of a half-empty arena.
I get that.
And it would probably seem a little bit more noticeable as you know people are filing in. But that means
I feel like
it should be hot for the main event at least because it's minutes before SmackDown.
And I feel like you might have a smaller crowd but a more hyped crowd.
Mm-hmm.
A crowd that's excited to be there and so excited for SmackDown that they got there early for wrestling is different than a crowd that's like, well, there's still wrestling happening and I don't like want to fight traffic yet, so I'll just kind of wait till everybody clears out.
Right.
Which is, I feel, the by and large attitude of the 205 Live crowds is I don't want to fight traffic rather than I'm excited to see anything
sure.
that's happening
yeah.
here.
I don't know. With the way they've got it currently set up, I'm not sure exactly what would be the best way to ensure you get a more engaged crowd, you know.
I think they're doing a lot of stuff right. Mm. I think they are on their way to building characters and building storylines.
Yeah.
And that takes time, and it's just going to take time.
Absolutely.
But you do have stuff like Jack Gallagher having antics in the Rumble and on Raw.
Yeah.
And he's memorable and he's noticeable. Mm-hmm. And you can be advertising at SmackDown during the commercials, this silly guy that you've been seeing is going to be having a match.
Yep.
On 205 Live after the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, I'll say that. Or kids being like, ah, that's the thing that I liked.
Yeah.
And so you're starting to get these recognizable things. While it's not a John Cena, Randy Orton, a Daniel Bryan kind of, this is what I came to see.
Mm-hmm.
It is more of a, I recognize that and I'm happy to see that.
Right.
It's above, because talent side a lot, you know, talent aside, that's mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say. Yeah, talent aside,
mm-hmm.
These guys to a run of the mill crowd,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was any different than like a, you know, Curt Hawkins, Mike McGillicuddy match.
Right.
It's just kind of like, oh, these names that aren't anything.
Sure, they don't mean anything to you. Yeah, and that's ultimately the struggle of 205 Live is, you know, again, it's a good indication of exactly how many of the casual viewer actually watches anything on the network because, you know, you would think since arguably Cruiserweight Classic's one of their hotter shows that they've mm-hmm. come out with in the past couple years, they're like, all right, this show's really hot. We're going to take the show on the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, you sometimes have these towns that aren't necessarily into, or they're not necessarily in the know on these things.
Right.
But again, I don't feel like it's asking too much to just be engaged what you're watching. Sometimes.
So, when you compare SmackDown to Raw.
Yeah.
One of the great things about SmackDown
mm-hmm.
is SmackDown feels like a 2-hour show.
Yeah.
SmackDown feels like a beginning, middle, height, ending
mm-hmm.
show. Raw feels like 7, 25-minute shows all side by side.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, here is this latest episode of the Kevin Owens Chris Jericho episode.
There's less show. There's here less interconnectivity the
exactly,
between
Exactly, yeah. Yoga. It's so segmented.
Mm-hmm.
And not just from a episode to episode basis, but it feels like these guys had a match.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had a rematch, then they had a final match. 1, 2, 3 on the pay-per-view. This feud is done. Wipe the slate clean. New people in for a feud, you know?
Yeah.
Roman beat this guy. Brand new person in for the feud.
Yeah.
That feud never existed. This is the only thing to focus on now.
Right.
And SmackDown has so much more of a ebb and flow as to this person interferes, this feud was happening, but this person got sidetracked in the middle of this feud because of that.
Yeah.
And in some cases, there's a bit of a frustration of like, no, there's 6 people waiting in line for a rematch clause on that title.
Right.
But it also, on the other hand, it has this feel of natural evolutions throughout these matches and these feuds, which in the long run is better.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I need a previously on for SmackDown a lot more than I do for Raw.
Right.
Raw is going to catch up. Whatever.
Sure.
Which is problematic because Raw's the one that loves to tell me previously on.
Sure.
Up to and including,
what happened 2 minutes ago.
Exactly.
Sure. All right. So there was one thing that I don't think we really mentioned last week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Seth Rollins injury.
Right.
That happened during the
Samoa Joe
entrance beatdown.
Attack.
Yeah. So a lot of reports are saying that it's the same knee that he hurt last time,
mm-hmm.
but he should be back in like just in time for Mania.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've been drawing this whole Triple H Seth Rollins thing out for so long anyway. Like this, like, again, this was like, what was it? A week?
I mean,
no, it was two weeks after SummerSlam. Because it wasn't that next night. It was the week after.
Yeah, because Balor won it at SummerSlam, right?
Yeah.
He won the Universal title at SummerSlam.
Right, and he had to relinquish it the next night. And I don't think they had that match.
The title match was the next week.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole big joke, was Vacant was the longest reigning champion.
Sure.
For a week.
Right. So it's been strung out that long. It doesn't really need any more build-up.
Not only has it been strung out that long, throughout the whole, ever since, you know, Seth betrayed the Shield, you're like, but eventually it's going to be Seth and Triple H. You know.
But it's making me wonder what they're going to do with Joe at SummerSlam. Or not SummerSlam, at WrestleMania.
I don't know. So when Joe came out, there was this big initial swell of excitement. There was like a washing out of the bad taste of the Rumble because Joe wasn't there. Because like, now he's there and everything's better and all's forgiven.
We didn't get that sticky Rumble all over him.
But almost immediately, it was like, so Seth now has another thing to go through. Is this just for a fast lane match?
Right.
Is this, because that would be the thing, is he's, you know, Samoa Joe's the mini boss.
Sure.
And so he beats that at Fastlane, and then it's on to Triple H at WrestleMania.
Right.
And there's a little bit of like, I don't necessarily want Joe to come out and eat it, you know, right out of the gate.
He doesn't
want
to be
at Fastlane?
He doesn't want to be what Kane was supposed to be with CM Punk back in 2014.
Yeah.
Like, Kane was the guy before you get to Triple H, and Triple H was the guy who's supposed to face at WrestleMania. We don't want Joe in that position.
Right.
You know? That's why I was like, all right, I'm nervous that they're putting him up in his first official night. They're putting him up against Roman Reigns. I was like, fine, we're gonna get a dirty swerve. And you know, sure enough, that's what we got. But
so I
still makes me wonder, like, what are they gonna do with Joe at Fastlane? What are they gonna do with Joe at WrestleMania? Because now it's just like, they brought him in. Now what?
Well, and Seth and Triple H is a WrestleMania match.
Sure.
And if they don't do it at WrestleMania, surely they're not going to wait till the next WrestleMania.
Sure.
Like, surely it will happen then at SummerSlam.
It's a miracle that they've done this much long-term booking.
Oh, no.
Like, don't give them a whole another year.
Yeah.
You know, whether by accident or whatever. I don't know. I feel like this is a good introduction to Joe.
It is.
You know?
I mean, it makes Joe look intense and strong.
And it sets him up on a high pedestal right at the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily, because for a brief second, it was like, hopefully he's not going to be Triple H's lackey. But now it's just more like he's just a guy who's got Triple H's endorsement.
Right. There's a very thin line there. Mm-hmm. And they've never done a good job of walking it. Because I do like that. I like that this is, you know, the authority figure, the, you know, whoever it is, has this is my guy. This is
right.
It's going to be.
They did a pretty all right job with Seth for a while, but he just had too many people in his corner.
Yeah, they did.
It felt kind of ridiculous.
Well, and it was still so much Seth doing the bidding of the authority.
Right.
And he was rewarded justly with the title and had a lot of, he had a good job of having his own storyline with that title.
But Joe's he's not that character. Like, Joe,
he's not.
Joe is a guy who's, you know, you're not going to have him pull off a coward heel wins.
No,
over and
Joe's
over again.
Built like an enforcer.
Right. So use him that way, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, like, it felt like initially it was going to be Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens has never really worked out as the next pick.
Right. Well, I mean, but then they didn't really lean into it, though.
No, but it felt like it's because it wasn't working. And it wasn't necessary. But, like, a better and more cohesive show would then have somebody acknowledge, Kevin Owens, it was supposed to be you, but you were never, you know, I picked you. Here's the footage, you know, replay the footage of clearly him picking Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, you were never in it for the glory of the WWE. You were only in it for the glory of Kevin Owens. That is not somebody we can entrust our belt to. Get him, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a Joe and Kevin Owens feud, which would be a solid, very interesting thing.
It would be if we don't have this Chris Jericho thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we got to get that belt off of Kevin Owens.
Well, they're going to take care of that in Fastlane because all of our fears have been realized that they've booked Kevin Owens versus Goldberg for Fastlane.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about that.
This is the same guy that wanted to see Goldberg win the Royal Rumble. I wanted everyone to make note of that.
Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
So, Goldberg defeated Brock Lesnar. Minute 26 seconds.
Yes.
At Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Lesnar's upset.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar's vengeance will happen at the Rumble. All right. I get that storyline progression.
Sure.
I get that angry. No, nope. 90 seconds in, 90 seconds out. Blop. He's gone. So twice now.
So now you would think Brock Lesnar is doubly enraged.
Well, twice now,
mm-hmm.
Goldberg has embarrassed Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's not even close to the same league as Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
Can't hold a candle to him. Which at that point has set up, I have no interest
mm-hmm.
in Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. Yeah, you're making me watch Goldberg and Sami Zayn or not Zack Ryder.
Right.
Like as far as the
yeah
the you know match skill that you've built up is off the charts incompatible.
Mm-hmm.
Brock comes out, hat in hand. Please, Mr. Goldberg, I'd like a second chance or a third chance, basically.
Instead of being like enraged.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it was more of embarrassed, which I understand.
Which is interesting.
Sure.
And okay, let's see where that's going.
Right.
Because that actually reminds me of Triple H's 27-28 buildup of, you know, Undertaker says, you embarrassed me at 27.
Right.
I want my victory. You know, I won, but I didn't get a victory. Right. I want my victory.
Yeah.
And so, like, this chasing after the match.
But he was a little bit more demanding about it.
He was. He was. But, like, okay, Brock. Goldberg has no reason to give him the match. Brock has to chase a match.
Sure.
That's very interesting. Brock's not really chased a match before.
Mm-hmm.
Brock's. Either people have come after Brock.
Mm-hmm.
Or Brock has been fighting somebody who really wants to fight him, like the Undertaker stuff.
Sure.
At Hell in a Cell. So, okay, Brock's chasing a match. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because Goldberg has no need, no interest sure. to go after this.
Also, I liked how he accepted this week. It's kind of like an aside, like a by the way.
That's my issue. Goldberg comes out this week and is like, yeah, all right. This is a guy who had no interest in fighting for 12 years.
Right.
That is part of the mythos of Goldberg.
I mean, how would you make Goldberg interested in accepting that? Oh, I don't know. You take an embarrassed Brock Lesnar, come in and, like, I don't know, attack the guy or something.
At any point.
And you know what was funny? Because I don't know if you know this. Brock was at Raw.
He should have
been like a dark segment.
Yeah. Why would you waste
all that money you're paying this guy where every appearance is precious? I guess they didn't want to burn an appearance. I guess maybe that's what it was.
If that doesn't count as an appearance, I don't know.
I mean, he had a Suplex City, this city shirt on.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that counts. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea why he was there and not on the show
when Goldberg's being so flippant about their WrestleMania match and then tacks on a championship match on top of it.
But the thing's like, Goldberg accepted, and that drives me crazy that Goldberg accepted.
And there was no chase there.
It
was just 1 week to the next.
The difference.
And you've got 3 months.
The difference between WrestleMania and Capital Punishment is bigger crowd, part-timers, and build-up.
Mm-hmm.
And the build-up about WrestleMania is all about, it's supposed to be, this is WrestleMania, this is important, but at the end of the day, here's a card,
mm-hmm.
and here's a card of mostly one-on-one matches in the same size ring with the occasional tag team, the occasional triple threat. They're not any different if they're just names on cards fighting each other. And that's all the buildup you've given me for this is Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. Names on cards.
See, for a better storyline, again, would be Goldberg doesn't accept. Doesn't even address it. He's like, you're not worth my time.
Exactly,
And then at Fastlane, Brock Lesnar comes out and costs Goldberg championship. Now Goldberg's pissed and wants to fight you for that reason.
That's what I assumed would happen. Not even like, that's a good idea. That's just what I assumed would happen, was Brock is going to interfere and cost him
or
that title.
Goldberg wins the title still, so because, I mean, WWE apparently wants that to happen. So Goldberg wins the title, and then in a celebration, then Brock Lesnar comes out and attacks him, you know? Still, yeah. Like, it's Lesnar, but still, you know, pisses off Goldberg.
But we have not seen Brock have any offensive on Goldberg yet.
Right.
He has been twice woefully unsuccessful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm looking forward to in this match. And I should be, because I'm a giant super silly mark for both of these people.
Yes, you are.
Like, I am your target audience. I am the easiest to please for this setup.
I'm assuming the end game is Brock winning at WrestleMania, right? But is he the heel or the face?
I don't know.
Because that's face booking to get that win, but Goldberg wants to be a superhero to his kids.
That's
so
the thing.
He's super babyface right now.
It's like I am very curious as to the background booking, because Goldberg has to have more control over his character than anybody mm-hmm. in the history of ever. Because Brock, the money. Okay, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Undertaker has control, but is susceptible to, I'll owe you one, pal. That's how the business is.
Right.
And that's how the business is. And
right.
That's the Undertaker kryptonite.
Yeah.
Which, good for him. I'm not making fun of him. That's, you know, very noble way, an honorable way to look at everything. But Goldberg is, this is my character. This is like,
this is what I want.
Weirdly interesting comparison, but he is much in the same way of like Ryback is like, I am the Ryback. This is my character. This is my heart and soul. Mm-hmm. In a not as cringe-inducing way.
Right.
But Goldberg is like, I am Goldberg, and this is my character, my being, mm-hmm. and my essence. This is what I built. This is why I do this, is to, you know, for the smiles and wishes of dreams of children.
Yeah.
And so I don't see how what like comeback will give you the title and this is how you'll lose the title, because that has to be part of the conversation. He right. just doesn't superhero around with the title for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And
because according to his character, he was just okay with coming back and beating Brock Lesnar that one time, and then he's going to walk away. And then Stephanie came in like, how's one more run for the title? Like, you know, and so clearly he's not interested in sticking around.
Yeah. And again, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, because it's very possible I'm wrong.
Mm.
But as far as I can find it in the stats, Goldberg is undefeated
in singles,
in single match, in one-on-one competition. And if that is the case, he is very aware of that.
Sure.
And
he doesn't, yeah, and like I think we've touched on it a couple weeks ago, like he doesn't seem exactly the type to go out on your, you know, go
I don't,
your back.
Like, how cool is that, that you're the one guy in two of the biggest companies mm-hmm. ever to have never lost a match like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, what is worth sacrificing that statistic in the record books?
Yeah.
And maybe it is. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe this is all because, yeah, the natural storyline is Brock gets it back and then Brock carries it to SummerSlam and then something happens there.
Hoping, with the way things go, I'm hoping that leads to a Brock versus Samoa Joe at SummerSlam.
There's a lot that it could lead to.
Oh, sure.
I'd be
yeah, absolutely.
Very interested.
Yeah.
Okay. But all of the where does it go aside, I don't understand, like, there's been, this is such a lazily mm-hmm. put together match. And I get that that what you do is you have the WrestleMania card and you go, this guy versus that guy is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you work your way backwards to, like, figure out how this feud will start and how it will escalate and how we'll get to WrestleMania. But this is like,
for something, it's incredibly appalling, especially when you think that this has been put in the motion since Survivor Series. you know, obviously they've been planning it much longer than that.
Mitch Hedberg had a joke once that was to the effect of, I love playing tennis, but tennis is really disheartening because no matter how good I get,
you're not as good as a wall. Yeah.
And I feel like that is Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg right now.
Right,
it's
now.
Like, I'm watching a guy play tennis with a wall. Like, I know who's going to win. The wall's not going to give anything.
Right.
It's not going to be close.
How's about this analogy? WWE is Goldberg. This feud is his dressing room door that he smacks his head up against. And the door wins. And Goldberg is the one with the cracked head on TV. That's pretty much how this is going right now.
And, like, how many more times are these guys going to show up on Raw before WrestleMania? Because they don't need to now.
Mm-hmm.
Their match is done. Like, I guess they do because Goldberg needs to win the title at what's.
And apparently Brock Lesnar's washed up. He's showing up on dark matches now.
But, like, why even have them show up? I know they're going to be there. We all know, like, we're not going to pretend that there's a grand story arc.
Yeah.
Like, just pretend with me.
Yeah.
We're all in this big pretend bubble together.
Yeah. At least they could have put off Goldberg accepting, because there was no reason for him to accept.
No, not even
a little bit. There was nothing. So on that lovely note, should we talk about Elimination Chamber
is this weekend.
No Escape to our German listeners.
Yes, of course.
I'm assuming we have at least one, probably.
Isn't it No Way Out?
No, they've called it No Escape.
Okay.
I don't know if it's always been called that, but that's what it's called now.
Okay.
It says, because Wikipedia's like, or in German, referred to as No Escape.
Yes.
And for good reason.
Yes. I understand.
So, 7 matches.
That seems like a lot for a SmackDown pay-per-view.
For a SmackDown show, yeah. Luke Harper versus Randy. Assuming Randy to keep him looking strong.
Yeah.
Leading into...
Yeah, you...
Since he's a Rumble winner.
Rumble winner, going to have a title match. You don't even...
Yeah.
Consider having Luke Harper. Like, I hope Luke Harper puts up a good showing.
Sure, because this is his... Like, this is his chance to really run... Like, yeah, he had that Intercontinental...
Well, this is also kind of his swan song for a while. Like...
Yeah.
This is... I mean, him and Randy have been a little button heads with the Bray thing, and so...
I really enjoyed their SmackDown match.
Yeah, I know. I've been plenty impressed with them. But he's obviously going to fade into the background in a moment here because of where we all know this feud is heading.
That, and we're about to go into part-time mania. So, you know, these full-time guys usually get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
When it comes to mania. Hopefully, he doesn't lose too much momentum after the fact.
So, I'd really like to see him have something else to do while the rest of the Wyatt family's busy.
Yes.
And so, I hope he has a good showing here.
Agreed. Now we have this weirdly put together 2-on-1 handicap match, Apollo Crews and Kalisto versus Ziggler.
Yeah.
Maybe now that Ziggler's a heel, he'll get a win. But, you know, ultimately this is probably also his, you know, I guess it's his comeuppance match.
So
it's hard to pick a guy going up against two other guys and that guy not being John Cena.
Yeah. 2-on-1 matches. Mm-hmm. Especially when the twos are faces and the one is a heel, feel icky.
Yeah.
Because I'm supposed to cheer for the faces. I'm supposed to be like, all right, those two guys ganged up and beat up this guy.
And I'm almost,
hooray, sportsmanship.
And I'm almost tempted to say that Dolph Ziggler hasn't really, you know, he hasn't really done enough dastardly things to where you're wanting to see him get his comeuppance. But then again, he did kick Jerry Lawler in the chest. But yet I still don't feel like he's, you know... necessarily done all that many bad stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to say Ziggler because I'm assuming he's going to do dastardly
things. Yeah, I'm going to go with Ziggler because I feel like WWE statistics, you always bet in the 1 and a 2-on-1, especially when it's an announced match.
Yeah.
Like if it's just like a thing on Raw with like, you know, oh, Stephanie's punishing a guy.
Yeah.
Of course the, you know, two are going to beat the one. But if it's a match on a show, it's like, yeah, they're going to, what an unexpected surprise.
Yeah.
So I'm going Ziggler.
So next we got the Becky Lynch versus Mickey James match. I'm also on the fence on that one.
I'm very much on the fence on this one.
You know, because, you know, like, clearly you've got Becky, who's essentially still the face of the division. But you've also got a returning legend with Mickey James. And, like, this is her first pay-per-view since she's joined the roster. So it's like, do they want to make Mickie James look good, or they want to, you know...
Well, I feel like...
go with the face of their division, which is where I'm leaning.
Honestly. You throw a title on this. This is a Mania match.
Sure.
Like, that's the only thing it's missing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what SmackDown's women's division has in mind for Mania.
Yeah, no one... when you talk about all the rumors for Mania, almost zero rumors for any of the women's matches.
Yeah.
Raw or SmackDown, which... I don't know. I find surprising, which makes me think that they're not really thinking about that.
I'm going to go with Becky because I feel like they don't really have another truly good like face, you know, baby face of the division kind of thing.
Like Becky is.
Yeah.
I guess you could argue Nikki, I guess, but still.
Yeah, but not like
Becky Lynch. They do have a match. Never mind. I'll hold that thought.
And so I kind of feel like they don't want to lose that momentum on her yet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So we're both saying Becky?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Alexa Bliss versus Naomi for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I feel like if there was ever a time for or a chance for Naomi to win a championship, it's probably here.
Yeah.
Because Alexa Bliss hasn't necessarily been booked as a strong champion because, you know, she used, you know, outside interference for a lot of that.
Yeah.
Even though I love her heel character. But again, like, Naomi is one of those, you know, especially since before the Women's Revolutions, you would assume she would have wanted a Divas Championship by now.
Yeah, it's a little interesting that she's never held it high. So are you going Naomi?
That's where I'm leaning.
I will go Alexa Bliss, partially just to split, since we haven't split on anything yet.
Right.
I do absolutely think it could go either way. Mm. I think Naomi might be the smarter choice because I think kind of getting some title weight on more than two people is a good call, especially when you're trying to build up a division.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I think that they're going to... I mean, somebody... I don't know if Naomi's the one they want holding the title going into Mania.
I mean, she keeps talking about how Orlando's her hometown, so...
Maybe so. Like,
and again, they might not even have plans for... Yeah.
And if that's the case, I think Naomi winning would be a fantastic thing.
And it could still, like, you know, you've got a long period of time between... because this is their last pay-per-view. So you've got, like, a month and a half to kind of kill... So you'll have rematches and
SmackDown's not as shy about switching titles on television as Raw is.
No, not at all. So yeah, I'm going to stick with Naomi. Mm-hmm. Now we have the tag team turmoil match for the tag team championship. American Alpha, Heath Slater and Rhino, Breezango, Usos, Ascension, Vaudevillains.
That is a lot.
It is a lot. And you know, it's basically like kind of Royal Rumble set up. Two teams start off, and then once one team is eliminated, then the next. And so they've been doing these a lot at house shows for SmackDown. So I'm guessing it's one of those things where like they must have been impressed with how they booked it at the house show, so they decided to do it for a pay-per-view. So I'm interested to see what they do here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, I'm saying either it'll go to Alpha or Usos.
You don't think this is the Vaudevillains' grand triumphant moment of returning?
No. Although a lot of people are, you know, loving the fact that Ascension got the pin on their ultra tag team match on SmackDown. But I don't see Ascension winning the championship.
It's hard to bet against American Alphas.
Yeah.
Like, it's just both in kayfabe, out of kayfabe.
I feel like they haven't really had a fair shake as champions yet. Like, they have, you know, they weren't on Royal Rumble at all. Like, they didn't even get a Royal Rumble match appearance. And I don't know. I feel like they kind of, like, just put the belts on these guys and then just didn't really do anything with it.
Yeah, I
can't, like, blame them about that because you have to be on the show, you know, in the first place.
So I'm going to go with them. Just it's hard to...
It is hard to... I have a feeling... The title might change.
Yeah.
So just so I can, I don't know, I'm gonna say Usos.
Okay.
Again, like, I think WWE likes their heel character. I like their heel character. Like any change to John Cena tag team
yeah.
is, you know, welcomed by me. Now, this is listed as the number two match overall. Again, this is Wikipedia.
Okay.
Nikki Bella versus Natalya. Am I the only one? And this is what I was going to bring up earlier until I saw that they had a match. It's like, no, I should talk about it when we're talking about the actual match.
Okay.
Am I the only one that, because, shocker, we've revealed this before, neither of us watched SmackDown Live.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only one that skips through most of their talking segments? So, like,
okay,
honestly, the only
Nikki
thing...
Nikki Bella
mm-hmm.
is the one... In this world of women's revolution, Nikki Bella is
Some
keeping the spirit of the Divas
it,
alive.
Right.
And you know what? Like, part of it is Total Divas.
Sure.
And
they've got a franchise. Like, they've built a franchise around this.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why they came back to the company.
Well, and, like, feelings about Total Divas aside, it definitely has its spot in its place.
It's got an audience, yeah.
Well-developed reality television.
Mm-hmm.
And it has brought several people. There are countless stories of this is how my girlfriend watches it. This is how she understood why I watched this for the first time.
Sure.
Lots and lots of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not necessarily begrudging her mm-hmm. that. And while I do have these complaints of, why is the women's division always about fighting over some man, or always hair pulling, or always blaming backstabbing cat, you know, cattiness? That's not how it is anymore.
Right.
And that stuff doesn't need to necessarily 100% go away.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have a character have those personality quirks, I guess, if you want to have those things present in a storyline, that's not necessarily a bad call. It's not what I want. It's not what I'm looking for in my wrestling.
Right.
But for people who are making the transition from this wildly popular and successful reality series to wrestling for the first time, that is a good way to handhold them over that bridge.
Sure. And Nikki Bella is like the lone woman bearing that torch,
yeah,
because every feud that she's had, the heel against her is like, well, you know, you're only doing this because it's John Cena, you know.
Yeah, it is Nikki Bella and whoever she's feuding with,
right?
Because whoever she's feuding with immediately descends to that Bella level,
right?
So I get it, mm-hmm. but it's not for me. But I get that it's for somebody. And if it brings more people to wrestling overall,
mm-hmm.
do I condemn it or do I be like, that's what it's there for?
Yeah.
All that being said, Nikki.
Well, here's the thing. And usually you're the one that says that.
I'm sorry. I already know what the thing is. I've known for years.
To be fair, you have a different thing every week.
I do.
Because here's the thing, pretty much pertains for every subject we talk about. Apparently, we've got to get to Nikki Bella and John Cena versus Miz and Maryse for WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking that
I'm, by the way, wildly okay with that. I don't know how others feel about it. If you're not, okay.
I would still rather Cena versus Undertaker.
That's the thing. If they're not going to have Cena versus Undertaker.
I don't want to have them to use Cena for anything
else. If you're not doing this wildly perfect,
mm-hmm.
all the stars have aligned, clearly you're doing this. If you're like, Roman? Roman versus Undertaker, anyone? Yeah.
And see, the thing, those rumors of that have kind of, you know, started circulating this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also the first week where John Cena on Talking Smack actually talks about Nikki Bella. Because, like, the whole, like, involving John Cena in their storyline has been a one-way street.
Yeah.
Up until this past week on Talking Smack. Even then, he was like, oh, well, she got attacked. I should probably go check on her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm gonna stay out here and cut a few jokes first. I'm like, what?
That's how we dance on the line of kayfabe.
So,
I'm worried.
It is so,
but I'm secretly not.
Stupid. Yeah. So I'm thinking that this will probably be be a point where they start all that.
Mm-hmm.
Where Maryse and Miz cost this match for Nikki. But then again, it's like, well, how is John Cena going to react to it? Will he even care? Because assuming this is going on before the Chamber match, will that mean John Cena kind of makes a target out of Miz in the Chamber, which is probably the more likely scenario, and then John Cena caring more about that than the championship ultimately loses the championship because of it?
Which would be a very nice, logical story build.
But we've already established that's not really what WWE likes to
exist.
Do.
They exist.
Right. So just for that sake, I'm going to say Natalya.
Okay. All right.
If
this one storyline goes beat for beat the way you think it will, then Natalya.
Yes.
This one rumored storyline.
But we tend to have a little bit more faith in the SmackDown Live storylines these days.
We do.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I say time will tell.
Well, clearly, because we're going to find out on Sunday. So now that leaves the Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship. That's John Cena, the champ. AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Miz, Baron Corbin, Bray Wyatt. I'm assuming we're both going to say Wyatt because...
I mean, how do you not put your, better than even money on Bray Wyatt in this one?
Right.
But ignoring that, how do you feel this Chamber match is going to go?
I feel like it's going to be interesting. Baron Corbin has a good deal amount of momentum going his way.
Uh-huh.
So I have, clearly he's going to have a strong showing. I don't know. I'm okay with them throwing me a swerve if they decide to have someone else win this championship.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Some people are saying... There's still people who are saying that Joe's going to somehow get into the Chamber and cost match for Cena and have a Joe versus Cena, which was the old plan. But it's like, they got Joe on Raw. Like, that's a
mm-hmm.
It's going to be a weird loophole to try to, retcon yourself through. So I don't know. I have a feeling ultimately I feel like this is going to be a pretty much just kind of colored by number, Elimination Chamber match.
It's the curse of the road to WrestleMania is especially, and it's not 100% WWE's fault because we rabidly devour every rumor that we can find.
Right.
Which means we have a fair idea of what the WrestleMania card is. Mm-hmm.
But this becomes the time of year where the main event at least becomes more and more predictable, just because we know where they want to get and we know how they like to get there.
Right.
Sometimes they will change it up, and take a different path to the same ending. Very rarely they'll change that ending, because we saw with WrestleMania 30.
WrestleMania 30 is the shining example.
But that doesn't happen hardly ever, except for that one time, really.
And in some ways, I feel like we're still being punished for WrestleMania 30.
It's kind of Vince telling us that, we'll owe you one, you pal, all you pals.
Yeah.
And that one has been 3-4 years now.
Yeah.
Three years.
Well, we also ruined his glorious shot of Roman with the title at the end of 31. Which is why we were punished with WrestleMania 32.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you will sit, you will watch this match, this is how this match will end.
Yeah. Just like those fans that were holding up the single letter of Orton, I think it was at the end of Rumble. I don't know, or somebody,
there was the glorious one. Is that what you're thinking?
That's what it was.
At the end of NXT?
Yeah, just, there you go, it was NXT. I knew it was from Rumble weekend, but yeah, they were holding up the...
holding up glorious, except for the guy who had the L.
So it was glorious, yeah.
Yeah, because...
But they wanted, clearly they're like, oh, this is an amazing ending shot with him, standing on the turnbuckle, and that's behind him, and that one person just would not raise the L.
Yeah, it was Nakamura's fault. Nakamura took the L.
You proud of yourself?
What up?
You proud of yourself?
What up?
How long have you been hanging on to that?
We didn't mention it because we were arguing about the Rumble 2 weeks ago.
I hate you. I hate you so much. Mostly because I didn't think of it myself.
And I said, I will patiently wait.
Which is funny because I got an extra week to think of it.
You did.
And I did it.
Nakamura's knee's fine, by the way.
Yeah, oh yeah. I don't, and again, me and Q talked about it. Like, I don't know if that was, you know, full on kayfabe or what. I'm assuming now it was, and you just was selling it.
Yeah, I was. I
thought it was a good sell.
No, it was a good sell, but I assumed he was selling it.
Yeah.
So at which point they were like, he's okay. Maybe like, what did I miss? So I like, had to go back and try and find like the we're dangerous and all the those kind of notes.
Yeah. NXT, I don't is the weekly show, I should say.
Yeah.
Is losing some momentum with me.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about like the crowd and everything a couple weeks ago. But I found myself like kind of like wanting to fast forward through some stuff this past week.
I think we talk a lot about the roster being gutted to fill out the brand split.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've addressed, but a big issue is I think the writing staff is also gutted to pack out SmackDown.
Yeah.
And I think it's not really quite recovered from that.
No.
And by not quite, I mean it's nowhere close to having recovered from that. And I don't know 100% who's writing it, if it's like newer guys, if it's...
Or if it's a guy or a team or...
Yeah.
Whatever.
But I do think we need to consider the fact and probably come to terms with the fact that what we had, like from the first NXT arrival up through probably Dallas...
Yeah.
Was a rare and magical moment.
Sure, absolutely.
Where the roster clicked right, the writing clicked right, the material was there, and it was hitting and firing on all cylinders from the main event, from the women's division, what it built up. And you look at that, just that little bit of time in the great span of wrestling, and you have, in the same ring, you have guys like Neville, like... Nakamura, like Sami Zayn, like Kevin Owens, like who else was in that time? I mean, Tyson Kidd was doing stuff in there, and Cesaro was doing stuff in there during that time period.
Sure. And that's another thing that we don't really see. We don't see anyone from the main roster work NXT at all anymore. But then that's mostly like, where's the room for them?
So all four horsemen, four horsewomen, plus Paige.
Yeah.
Was there during that time period.
Emma's apparently coming back next week.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
She won't. I feel the better. Even if they say next week, you're betting money on it, still bet no.
Literally the only thing I can think of where I'd be like, this has been worth the wait, is if she comes out to Somebody Call My Mama.
But at the same time, I would feel so sad for her.
Like, no, it'll be a bummer.
Like, oh, you're a better wrestler than this.
Well, that's clearly like the Hornswoggle solution.
Sure. I mean, because the speculation and the rumor is like they still don't have a plan for this, and it's becoming a joke.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to bring up next. Speaking of a joke.
Okay.
Meltzer has been reporting something interesting for a WrestleMania surprise. Want to guess who it is? Hulk Hogan!
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It hasn't been long enough. It hasn't been long enough.
Okay. Has it not been long enough for you personally? Or as a business decision, has it not been long enough?
Porque no los dos? Like, from a business decision, it feels like it's too soon.
I think we all knew Hogan would be back in a ring someday. I think even back when we first talked about it, and we were talking about, is Hogan done?
Sure.
It was, the answer was like, yes, Hogan is done. Kind of.
Right.
Because I think there was always this back in your mind, like, barring some sort of injury or death, Hogan's going to show up there.
Right.
It makes too much sense.
Ultimately, Hogan wants to end things on a good note with WWE.
Yeah.
Whatever that end might be.
Now, prior to this, I would not have put it past WWE to give him another title run.
Right. I see here. There's a certain act of desperation that I get from Hulk Hogan about this, mm-hmm. which is understandable because as a aging wrestler who's partially retired or fully retired, I don't know, time isn't necessarily on your side.
No.
As far as like being able to come back and make any sort of appearance, not even in the ring, you know? It sucks, but that's just a fact. You know,
no. So if it was up to Hogan, he'd be back tomorrow.
Sure, he would have been back the day after it happened because he was like when his image should be the most important thing to mm-hmm. him at that moment, and as far as protecting or trying to salvage,
yeah,
he was more worried of like I just need to talk to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the impression that I've got from him that he was more worried about his standing with WWE and with the company. So clearly this is something that's important to him, and I can respect that if what happened didn't happen, you know, but what happened did happen and it's been too soon.
Okay. So when is it not too soon?
I don't know. And that's the thing. Like,
okay. So
again, I am a straight white straight white male. I almost made a weird confession. But being a straight white male is like, my opinion doesn't mean jack. And then
So I will say a couple of things. Of the people that it could have been,
mm-hmm.
I'm glad it was Hogan. Like, I'm glad somebody I really... you know, really adored didn't do it. Like, I wish Hogan hadn't have done it.
Well, sure.
But, like, if it had been Mick Foley or something,
right.
And my little heart would have been crushed and I've been trying to reconcile, like, why I still want him back anyway.
If it was somebody who we had all, like, thought of as just a really stand up guy.
Well, not even so much, just kind of like a personal friend. Like, if Shawn Michaels had done it and it was like, oh, yeah, Shawn Michaels was a giant jerk at Once Upon a Time.
Sure.
But you're like, I want to be excited knowing Shawn Michaels is going to show up, not uncomfortable and apprehensive.
Yeah. But I mean, Hogan, you know, was currently on trial, he had Gawker on trial.
So Hogan has won the trial
twice, apparently.
And I wonder if that has an impact in WWE's decision, because
mm-hmm.
I think it does. Is he won the trial?
And honestly, which, I was surprised they had even brought him back before the trial was over. Like, I figured they would want to like.
Well, they've acknowledged him and like.
Yeah.
And I definitely think they're testing waters. He's showing up in video packages.
Sure.
People are talking about WrestleMania 3 a lot because we're in WrestleMania season again.
Sure.
Which was not touched on last WrestleMania.
No.
But they're talking about that a great deal. So I think they're definitely testing the waters for Hogan. I don't know if he'll be back this WrestleMania.
But he'll be back by WrestleMania 34, so he can make another Silver Dome joke.
I think that's...
they're going back to the Superdome.
I think that's very possible. You're right.
Yeah.
Because
like he just made that WrestleMania 30 appearance. And I want to say this all went down... a few months prior to WrestleMania 31, wasn't it?
He was in the middle of Tough Enough. When was that Tough Enough?
It was that summer, I think.
So I don't remember if he was still around for 31 or if it wasn't.
No, he wasn't 32. Around for 31.
I know he wasn't there, but I don't remember if that was because they just didn't have him or if that's because
I want to say it was before WrestleMania 30, because it was around... I don't know. We'll see. We could be wrong about that. I might need to look into it, but I feel like it was... So it's been...
I will say, you know, I asked Chris...
It's been about 2.5 years, I think.
I asked Chris, when will it have been long enough?
Mm.
If your personal answer out there is never, you're not wrong.
I can't argue against you. And honestly, like if... I didn't know WWE like I know WWE, then I would say, yeah, no, he's never coming back. But I know WWE, and I'm like, they're going to have him come back, you know?
He's going to come back, and you kind of have to decide for yourself, mm-hmm. are you going to be okay with that?
I just think it's surprising that they're considering if what Meltzer's saying is believed to be true. I'm surprised that they're even considering it this soon in such a hyper microscope that social media is these days. Like, everyone is super aware of these things now.
You don't think it's like, oh, and we can say that now? All
right. Right. Like, it's like we live in a super aware society now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's surprising to me that they're even thinking about that. Or they're just oblivious to the society we live in. I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where it lands is we'll see. I with WWE, it always is going to come down to money. Is sure. he going to sell yeah. more bandanas, then they're going to lose money from people being outraged and boycotting. And it's a gamble on their part whenever they decide to do it.
I could have made a bandana joke, but I'm going to hold my tongue. I'll make it there.
And so I don't know. Like, I hope, I guess, if he's coming back, they have something for him that's worth the risk.
Yeah.
Like, him coming back for WrestleMania 30, WrestleMania 30, big deal. It's WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
And to be able to say, and Hogan's back for this, all right, I get that.
It's not going to be something, if he comes back, they're not going to announce it ahead of time. It's going to be like a surprise at WrestleMania.
That is probably a smart thing to do.
Yeah. They're not going to have, like, hey, you know this guy that, you know, was taped saying the N-word a bunch of times? He's our host for WrestleMania in Orlando.
Well, have him come out, that music, and, oh, he's here, you know, instant nostalgia pop, rather than, oh, the racist is going to be here. Mm-hmm. Let's have a week and a half to decide what sign to make.
Right. Right. Yes, the racist slash guy who has sex with the lady whose husband is
also, if they had that announced thing of, like, Hogan returns to Raw next week, you'd hear Michael Cole being like, we haven't seen him for, you know, 3 years. No reason, don't ask.
Yeah.
So, to avoid that situation.
Guys, you don't understand. That wasn't Hulk Hogan on that tape. That was Terry Bollea. That still is the funniest thing. The funniest argument, like, because our lawyer friend loves to talk about that case.
Yeah.
Because he wants to, like, because he also teaches. He wants to teach a law class on that.
On Hulk Hogan.
Just the difference between Hulk Hogan and Terry Bollea. How to explain to him what kayfabe was. It was a weird conversation. Like, I didn't know exactly.
In the legal sense.
Yeah, like, because, you know, we know what it is, but it's hard to explain.
Yes.
You know?
All right, anything else this week?
Nope. We're good.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet. We'll be live tweeting this Sunday. We're going to watch Elimination Chamber. Watch it with us.
Mm-hmm. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, if you want to talk about Hulk Hogan potentially coming back, send all those thoughts.
I'm sure you have thoughts on that.
You have to have thoughts on it. Send that over to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Get a new episode every week. You can give us a rating of
5 returning Hulk Hogan's.
No, 1's enough.
Fair enough.
1 is enough.
5 stars.
There you go. I usually let you go. Not today. Or you could write a review. Those kind of interactions really help out the podcast.
Yep. And if you are listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
We are on Facebook.
I was making sure I was on the right one.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.